This is very, very casual. As I said in my email, I just like to have a conversation because I think that's the way the best information comes out. It comes out organically, dare I say it.
I agree.
And the whole thing is that one thing I know about you is that all it takes is a little start button push and it's off to the races. So that's exactly what I'd like to do. And before we get started, because you're brand new to the audience, I just want to do a little bit of an introduction because not everybody knows how big a deal you are in Australia. So I'm going to take some of the copy you wrote, I assume, about yourself and read it aloud. So Kate Toon is a copywriter based in Sydney, Australia, and I met her at Social Media Marketing World, and like all the members of my tribe, were really, really hard to find, but once you do, it's like, oh my God, where you been all my life? And that's how I felt when I met Kate initially and then got to know her a little bit better. And when I read this little blurb that you wrote about your book, Confessions of a Misfit Entrepreneur, I just laughed my head off. Let me just read it to you. And it says, while most small business owners network before breakfast and hustle 24/7, I took a different approach. I built my business empire from my back garden shed while wearing pajamas, watching Netflix, and eating crisps, which here in the United States would be potato chips. I'm not your stereotypical entrepreneur, but I've created not one, but three highly successful businesses without any master plan, rich investors, or input from smarmy sales gurus. I read that, I laughed, and I said, I think this audience is going to love you. So why don't you give us a little bit more about you, specifically what you do in Australia. Now, you're not Australian yourself. You're a Brit. Let me ask you this, because I'm always intrigued by English accents. Okay. What part of England are you from, and what brought you to Sydney?
Well, I'm originally from the north of England, so I can talk very northern like this. But then we moved down south to Henley near London and Windsor, so I can talk very posh like this as well. So I can do any accent. It's one of my little party tricks. And I moved to Australia when I was 24 as a backpacker. I traveled around Thailand, and my travel companion ran off with a Thai boy called Bang. Very apt name. So after that shocker, I came to Australia, and a week later I got a job at Ogilvy, and the rest is history.
Wow, that's really cool. I mean, I worked at an ad agency with a guy from Liverpool, and he would always tell me that having an English accent was such a plus working in America, because literally he told me about one time a creative director came running through the hallway saying, "Where's the British guy? I need him in a meeting." Just because they needed to impress the client. And he had this working class Liverpoolian accent. He sounded like a Beatle, for crying out loud. Didn't matter, because it was British. And Brits, no.
They do. And when I'm in America, I get a little bit of that. It depends where you are. The more sort of out of the big cities you go, the more impressed people are. People aren't so impressed in like San Diego or New York. They're like, yeah, whatever. But if you go out to the sticks, people are like, oh my God, you're so cute.
Yeah, well, that'd be Wisconsin. The Wisconsin accent is, you've seen probably the Coen Brothers movie Fargo.
Yeah.
We aren't quite Marge up there in Minnesota, but we're darn close. And
let
me tell you.
It's really drawn out. That's what I like about it. It's like it takes you half an hour to say what a British person would say in about 15 minutes.
Well, that's, yeah. Yeah, and that's interesting because I was always told that part of the reason vocal patterns happen is because of the weather. If it's always cold and you got to talk fast, so you get you're kind of tight, your face is tight, and you want to talk fast to get it over with quickly, as opposed to down south here in the United States, where it takes you a week to say what your order is at lunch. Anyway, so cool to have you on, Kate, and for the listeners of the podcast, you're going to be a regular guest of ours because I'm twisting your arm and making you do it.
I'm very excited. I'm glad to be twisted. Thank you.
Well, anyway, one of the cool things is that while I'm a copywriter and Kate's a copywriter, we come at things from totally different points of view. All you have to do is look up katetoon.com and go to her website and poke around a little bit, and you'll find out that she's hanging her hat on the SEO hook, SEO and SEM, but especially SEO, search engine optimization. In fact, when we first met, you mentioned SEO or something, and I said, I hate SEO. Well, I still hate SEO. I think it's too much like teaching the test, which is try to game the refs, you know, you got to work into the algorithm. And I'm like, no, I want to write for people. I'm obviously wrong based on your facial expression.
I was just rolled. If for the listeners, my eyes just rolled so far back, I saw my own brain because I'm like...
Well, tell me why I'm wrong.
Okay. Well, firstly, you're wrong because it's not two different things. Writing for Google is writing for humans because the Google algorithm is trying to replicate human behavior. So things that annoy humans, like slow sites and pop-ups and pages that you go to that you thought were going to be about piglet jumpers, but you get there and there's nothing about piglet jumpers at all. That's what Google doesn't want either. It wants fast sites. It wants relevant content. It wants to get rid of pop-ups. It wants sites to be secure. All those things that we want, Google wants too. So that's the first reason. And the second reason is it's so powerful. 70%, I may have pulled that stat from my bottom, but hey, let's stay with it. 70% of all business transactions start with a Google search. Because if I want to buy something, I'm looking at DP's office and he's got some beautiful guitars. If I want to buy a beautiful vintage guitar, I'm highly likely not to sit on Instagram for 3 hours hoping a picture of a vintage guitar comes up or hoping an ad comes up on Facebook. I'm going to go to Google, I'm going to type vintage guitar shop, Wisconsin, and then hopefully find somewhere that I can drive out and play some guitars. And that's how most people behave. So if you're not in it, you can't win it.
Well, that's very, very true. And you haven't quite convinced me, but that's going to be something.
I'm starting.
Yeah, you're starting to. And the whole thing is, I totally understand that because I am the guy on Google and I am the guy on Amazon too. If I'm purchasing something new, I bypass Google altogether and go straight to Amazon just to look at reviews, get the prices, kind of set the parameters on my purchase, if you will.
Yeah.
And even if I go out to a brick and mortar store locally to buy it, because I want to be able to return it very quickly if I don't like it or whatever, I'll at least get the information there. So,
and Amazon is just another search engine. You know, YouTube's a search engine. Instagram's a search engine. A search engine is simply an index or the display that we see, an algorithm which works out what we want, and an area where we can type in keywords. That's what a search engine is, a bot that crawls all our content. So Amazon is just a mini Google, and so you can do Amazon optimization as well. And you see that through product descriptions and things like that. So it's all happening behind the scenes wherever you go.
So you're telling me that I can't strictly write really good stuff and people will find me, discover me, like I used to want to be discovered playing guitar in a coffee shop, you know, that doesn't happen, right?
Well, I think it does. I mean, you know, if you're a brilliant writer, you know, I recently got to meet Mark Manson, who is a great writer, who wrote The Subtle Art of Not Giving a F. And I don't think he ever thinks about search engine optimization ever when he writes. He just writes heartfelt, amazing articles, and he built up a following slowly, word of mouth, a few lucky breaks. I don't think he's thinking about Google. So yeah, if it's truly exceptional content, but we all know that there are some truly exceptional bands playing in bars that never get signed. It's not necessarily those are the ones that end up being super famous and successful. So I just think SEO gives you the best chance of being signed to the record label, as it were. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a really good way to look at it. And I think that dovetails with a lot of what we're talking about with nonfiction branding and nonfiction brandversity about creating a personal brand. You can be really good at what you do, and yet if people don't know it and you don't tout yourself appropriately, you can be the best sculptor in the world, but if no one ever sees your work, they'll never know it. And well, yeah. Let me talk to you about that, because you have embraced personal branding for Kate Toon, the product, like nobody else that I've ever seen, because especially here in America, you see a lot of wannabe gurus on LinkedIn who are doing all the videos where they're earnestly have their prayer hands in the thing, talking about being your best self and all that stuff. And they're serving up conventional wisdom, what I think of as bland porridge, and just, come on, dude, I don't believe you. On the other hand, Kate Toon, and again, go to katetoon.com and you'll see this, you serve yourself up as this bowl of muy caliente salsa that has a ton of flavor. And frankly, you aren't afraid of not being someone's cup of tea, if you will. I mean,
no, exactly.
You go 100% Kate Toon, and if you don't like Kate Toon, that's okay.
Yeah, and I think someone once said to me, it might have been you, that marketing is as much about repelling people as it is about attracting people. I don't want people who are, you know, indifferent to me. I want them to love me or hate me. I don't mind. And I think very early on in business, I realized that, you know, not everyone's going to like you, and that's okay. And once you can get over that hump of not being liked and people saying, I don't think that's funny, or I don't like your style, you go, okay, scroll on. It's fine. You know, shake it off, as Taylor Swift would say. And just the more that I've embraced my own personality, because it is my personality, it's not like someone else's that I've grafted on, it just makes my marketing so much easier. I don't have to second guess. I don't even really have to think. Whatever bubbles out of my brain in the morning becomes an Instagram post or a Facebook post. And the more that I just do that, I was going to say from the heart, but I'm not a very woo-woo person. But the more that I'm just myself, the more people seem to respond to it, I find. I share a useful SEO tip. Crickets, tumbleweeds. I share the fact that I just spilt coffee on my dog. You know, people go crazy. And you'd think that that might affect the professionalism of my brand, but it doesn't seem to.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, Chris Ducker, he joined Nonfiction Brandversity, by the way, which is very cool, which is a free Facebook group for anybody listening. Yeah. So how hard is it to join? can I join? Yes. So it's really, really easy. But anyway, I love to quote Chris Ducker because he put in a bumper sticker frame exactly what you just said, which is market like a magnet, attract the best and repel the rest. And I'm like, That's kind of cheesy, but it's 100% true, which is, if you don't like me, that's cool, man. Plenty of people in the world. But if you do love me, let's talk, let's do business, let's be friends, let's be connected in our networks, let's refer each other, etc. So that's very, very cool. Let me ask you about, were you always as Kate Tooney as you are today?
No, gosh, not. When I started out, I was a copywriter. I was 5 months pregnant when I started my business. So I just kind of was focused on earning a bit of money, looking after my baby. And I was very, very vanilla. I think my website had a picture of me with a polo neck jumper on it, looking like every other copywriter in the world. And then it was really about 2 or 3 years in when I just got bored of trying to write articles like how to use a colon and 10 rules for grammar, because everyone was writing them. It was the same content. It just didn't need to be written. And so then I started to try and just write strange articles. Like I wrote an article called How My Vagina Helps Me Write Better Copy, which has always been super popular. It's not really about how I use my vagina. I'm not that talented, but it got lots of reaction and it was very funny. And you get a little bit of encouragement and people going, this is really different. This stands out. And it kind of, I don't know, it encouraged me to do more, unfortunately. And then, you know, over the last 2 or 3 years, especially since writing the book and doing the podcast, it's impossible to do a podcast and pretend to be someone else, I think. So you just have to be yourself because you're talking just for so much time, you know?
Oh, yeah. I think you're absolutely right. If you aren't yourself, people's auditory facilities are really finely tuned. They can typically hear BS. They can smell it, certainly, but they can hear it too. And if you're doing a video version of something, like you do videos on YouTube and other places like that, boy, that puts all the senses engaged to turn on that BS detector. And the people who, well, actually, there are plenty of people who don't have it finely attuned, and that's fine, but I don't want to work with those people. I want to work with the smart ones that are challenging, that are interesting, that are fun, that are respectful. You know, one of the things I always tell my clients is I will always serve the tea as hot as I can, because hot tea can always be watered down or, you know, cooled. But it's really hard to take cold tea and make it hot. And there's a saying in acting, which is too big can always be brought down, but too small, it's really hard to be brought up. So you go all the way up. You're at 11 all the time. And that's one of the things that really I found attractive and really a lot of fun.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding, and we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus.
Now, you've got a bunch of things you're doing. You aren't just a copywriter. Yeah, you'll write copy for websites or video scripts or whatever else, but you also have the Clever Copywriting School, right? You've got courses online. You've got books that you've written, including a kid's book. What's the name of your kid's book?
It's called Wobbly Jim. Let me show you. I'll send you a copy. There we go.
Wobbly Jim and a parrot.
And a parrot named Sue.
Yeah. And it looks really charming, really, really fun for the under eight set.
Under eights, yeah. Can I read you one little bit from it? Like,
yes, please do.
Like it. Okay. I'll read you the first page. Once there was a pirate and his name was Wobbly Jim. He used to have two legs, but a shark took one from him. So now his leg is wooden and doesn't fit quite right. He polishes it with honey and takes it off at night. There you go.
Okay, what kid is not going to be asking to be read that book every night for a month?
Thank you.
Well, no, it's brilliant. But it's also a great way to say you aren't just a copywriter, you're a writer.
Yeah, and that's it. I think I secretly would love to be a writer. I'd love to write novels. Maybe when I'm a bit older and I can't do this whole online internet game anymore, I'll retreat to a hut somewhere in the mountains and pump out my novels. Maybe, I hope, one day.
Yeah. Well, you're doing incredible stuff right now. And it's one of the things that I really wanted to talk about with everybody via the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, because while you have very clearly put your shingle up as SEO copywriter expert, that is merely kind of a starting place and maybe the key attractor that bring people to you. Like, we have a website, it's not converting. Can you help us with that? And the first answer I'm guessing is yes. Let's take a look at your search engine optimization. Let's do an audit and let's see where there are gaps and holes. So,
yeah. I mean, I've even evolved out of doing that, really. So I don't actually help people. I don't do that for people. I help them do it themselves. So these days, I'm all about kind of empowerment and education and saying, you know, yeah, you could pay a couple of grand a month for an SEO expert, or you could learn the tricks of the trade, because really there is no magic juju. There's no magic sparkle juice that I can pour over your website. It's just a series of steps. It's quite boring, some of it, but it's very doable. And so that's where I really focus these days, with teaching and courses, online courses and things like that.
Well, again, I'm going to guess, but this was done very strategically, because as a copywriter who's paid by the hour, you have an inventory of a finite number of hours that you're willing to work. However, if you are a teacher of a course or a system, that can be multiplied over and over and over again. And the reason people come to you for those courses, for those workshops, for those conferences and everything else, is because you've established yourself as an expert that literally you can put a name tag on that says Kate Toon, SEO expert.
Yeah, it's funny. Somebody literally posted in one of my groups yesterday that they were trying to persuade their partner that they could buy my course. My course went on sale yesterday and sold out in 28 hours, which was very nice. But they were trying to persuade them, and they were like, well, there's going to be cheaper people than this. So let's Google SEO courses. So they put in every different variation, and the top course every time was mine. And then the partner said, can I see a picture? I want to see a picture of her. And they found one and said, oh, it's good that she's not 21 and she's got a good haircut. So yeah, we'll go for it. So it just shows personal branding, the haircut. I had it done recently. It looks bad today, but there you go. It can be as simple as a good haircut.
Well, that's it right there, which is that people know you. You've got great SEO. That's proof of concept. You're demonstrating your value by the fact that you're appearing number one in all the searches, but you're also giving them a comfort level that all of a sudden price isn't the object. It's, oh, I'm confident she can get this done, or we can learn from her and do it ourselves.
Yeah, well, especially with learning, because it's such an intimate relationship. I mean, there's 100 videos on my course. So people are going to listen to my voice and see my face for many, many hours. And therefore that personal branding is so important, because you've got to like me. Otherwise, you're not going to like the course. You know, I'm going to drive you crazy. It's going to be like fingernails down a blackboard. So that kind of being out there, being myself, doing Facebook Lives and videos and podcasts is part of the process, you know, to lure them in.
Yeah, well, you are the Venus flytrap of Sydney, Australia.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to meme that.
Yeah, there you go. What is the name of your conference? You've got a couple. Okay, you've got a ton of stuff different. a ton of different things going on. You've got the Hot Copy podcast. You've got an SEO podcast.
The recipe for SEO success. It's called that one. The recipe for SEO success.
And there's another podcast as well, right?
Well, there was Confessions of a Misfit Entrepreneur. It's slightly neglected at the moment because I decided to really hone in on the ones that building my personal brand and make money, you know, because the book one is all very fun and I enjoy it, but it doesn't kind of lead anywhere necessarily. So I've only got so much time. So three podcasts was a stretch even for me.
Yeah, I'd say. But it's indicative of how you're approaching the marketplace, which is you're actively targeting what I consider force multiplying venues. So a podcast is a force multiplier. You and I will talk for an hour. That will develop into 2 half-hour podcasts that will be coming out. And by doing so, you're offloading a lot of that work onto me. And now you're getting your tendrils into the United States of America in a big way. And that's cool because you're benefiting me. It's a quid pro quo. Thank you very much for being on the podcast because now I have the cachet of being international.
And you spoke in Australia with my copywriting group and they just adored you. They all jumped on LinkedIn. They're all liking you. Everything you do now, they're like, oh, DP. So your tendrils are going everywhere as well. Don't just talk about my tendrils.
Let me tell you, we've got tendrils everywhere and they are respectfully intertwining. Let's just say that. But that's how it works. I keep saying this is how social media works. But guess what? Kate and I did not meet on social media. We met face to face. And that is so critically important. And I see it in what you're doing, that face to face is a huge component in your success, in building your tribe, in building your communities, in building your movement, if you will. Can you talk about that a little bit?
You're so right. And honestly, it's fairly new to me. So this is a couple of years that I've been really doing the face-to-face. I was one of these kind of slightly introverted people that didn't want to go to networking events and was like, oh, they're horrible. But in the last couple of years, I've gone to literally hundreds and conferences and run my own workshops. And as you mentioned, set up my own conference, CopyCon, here in Sydney and run that. It's going to be in Melbourne next year. And it's been, it's been transformative because it has. It's been fantastic there's only so much you can do online. You know, people want to, I don't know, sniff you, touch you, see you eye to eye and put the name to the face. You know, when people meet me, they're like, oh, they're either like, you're nothing like I thought you'd be, or you're exactly like I thought you'd be. And it's interesting either way, but it's been so good, not just for winning customers and sales funnels, but it's been good for me. It's really bolstered my confidence. I really enjoy it now. I'm less of an introvert. I'm becoming vaguely extroverted. It's great.
The thing that drives me crazy, but I totally get, is if you look at the cover of Confessions of a Misfit Entrepreneur, you're going to see Kate Toon looking like a 1940s pinup, complete with legs in the air and stilettos and everything else. And I'm like, yeah, you're an introvert. Uh-huh.
You know, we talked about it. We said we were ambiverts, so we can do it for a bit and we can, you know, do the game and talk to people and really enjoy it, but then we need to retreat and kind of come back to our little caves, play our guitars, read our books, and then go back out again. Can't do it continuously, I don't think.
Well,
and by the way, on the cover, someone was holding my legs because I couldn't keep them up, and they were photoshopped out. So there you go, just a little bit.
But you hit on a really key point, which is that being an introvert is no excuse. Let's face it. Yeah, protect yourself, protect your energy. But you don't have an excuse not to get out there, both in terms of digital social media and, you know, meet space, face to face, because that's where stuff happens. That's where connections are made. That's where referrals are encouraged. And that's where you discover your next great partner in life, whether it's in business or in love or you name it. Nobody's going to find you as you sit in your hovel reading a book.
So true. So true.
Hey, everybody, this is DP. As you can hear, Kate is an amazing person and a really fun conversationalist. But we're going a little long, so I had to cut off the episode right here. However, she will be back in another episode and also in future episodes as she'll be a regular guest on the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. I want to again invite you to join Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group, and all you have to do is go to Facebook, search Nonfiction Brandversity, and ask to join. Thanks again for listening. I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.